B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. I've been talking about this baseball standoff or whatever it may be for the entire show. And right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mr. Corey Seidman is on the line. How are you today, Corey?
I'm good, Ty. I mean, I'd rather be covering multi-homer games and late-inning comebacks than labor disputes, but, you know, all's well.
Yes, I agree with you, and I fully agree with you. Now, the owners come forward with their proposal, and it says, all right, players, a player like Mike Trout, a player that people actually tune in to see, you take an 80% pay cut with our plan, blah, blah, blah. And I think they thought the players would counter, and the players basically ignore that plan completely. Max Scherzer comes out, and Boris comes out and presents their own plan. What do you make of where the two sides are right now?
Well, first off, I can't imagine that the league thought that the Players Association was going to let that first proposal fly. Like you said, though, they probably did expect some sort of counter proposal. The logic on MLB's part with that was that there are so many more players in the lowest tier making the lowest amount of money in baseball, and those players would be close to made whole. So the thinking there could have been, all right, if the majority of players benefit from this, perhaps we can pass this through. But it doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense for a JT Realmuto to take $3 million of his $10 million salary to play half the season, risk an injury that could cost him millions of dollars in free agency. You know, there are so many different tiers of players that it does not make sense for. And I think that's why you saw Max Scherzer come out with that strongly worded statement last night. It's why Scott Boras came out with a strongly worded email to his clients this week referring to what owners are seeking as a bailout. Boras attributes a lot of this to the debt that these organizations have accrued by building around their ballparks. And, you know, that's a valid point that Boras makes. So now here we are. It's the end of the week almost, and there's really no resolution in sight. Every day that gets lost here is a day later we get toward the mid-June spring training optimism or the early July regular season optimism. And, you know, the deeper this gets, you have to start wondering, how late is the season going to start? This latest report that the players plan to counter-propose a longer season, well, why would that benefit them? It would benefit them because the more games played, perhaps there's better chance to compromise with the owners and bridge the gap between making 30% of your prorated salary versus making 100% of your prorated salary like they thought they agreed to in March.
And that's another thing I've been trying to talk to people about. They thought that this was all put to bed. And can you explain to me, Corey, why, in even a situation like this, the owners on their side are so... why won't they open the books?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only team that has open books is the Atlanta Braves. It's only one out of 30. And, you know, looking at their books, looking at their franchise valuation of like $1.8 billion kind of lends some insight into what other similar franchises could be worth. That was part of Max Scherzer's statement last night, was that these players want the owners to open the books. They think that if the books are open, that, you know, if more information is known, the public will see that these owners can withstand the losses of the season and the players should not be the ones taking the pay cuts. However, I'd also caution that even if that were to happen, there still would probably be like if the books come out and they paint a different picture, there will be accusations that they're inaccurate, you know? So I don't think you're ever going to really find a common ground with that. I also don't think it's going to happen. I think that before the owners do that, they would figure out a different sort of agreement. You know, one proposal that I saw laid out in the New York Post that made a lot of sense. In an elongated season, close to 100 games, and raising the minimum wage the next two seasons. I think something like that makes a lot of sense because it protects owners a little bit more this year, but it gives players something the next 2 years. There's also the idea of deferred money. You know, you could tell a player like JT Realmuto, for example, okay, you're going to make 30% of your prorated salary, but we'll give you the difference of a couple million dollars within the next couple of years. Maybe something like that works. That first proposal from the league, you know, they had to know that it was going to be received unfavorably. I mean, if you think about the history of baseball labor disputes, that's kind of how the negotiating works, is that a proposal is made and the players' union does not like it, and it goes from there.
You know, Corey, we were talking about how when the initial offhand statements were made by some players while they were on Twitch about the situation, a lot of the public opinion was pro-owner, anti-player at that point. Since the owners released that statement, it has flipped. We're doing a Twitter poll, and obviously this is just small data, but all over it seems more and more fans are like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Did the owners, were they naive to not anticipate that they might have been overplaying their hand publicly and could turn the court of public opinion against them when it's usually almost always with ownership and not with the players?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that when that, you know, when Blake Snell on Twitch said what he said, I think one of the reasons that it was polarizing and why a lot of people did side with ownership is because of the way that Blake Snell conveyed his message. Like, what he was saying there was some validity to, but the way he said it was not going to make anybody feel comfortable at a time like this when there's 35 million people unemployed, hundreds of thousands of people personally affected by this. Like, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, my dad was suffering from coronavirus during that entire process. And I, you know, I saw those comments and I'm thinking in my head, like, really? Like, this is what we're arguing about? This is what we're talking about right now? You know, and that's something that, you know, that's a major factor right now is how all of this looks. The owners, they know that that they're the bad guys, or at least perceived as the bad guys when this stuff happens. What we're seeing more now of, though, is there's more public acknowledgement and more public realization that a lot of this stuff is being leaked by owners or the league. You know, a lot of the stuff has trickled out. Like, we've seen so many more leaks from that side than we've seen from the player's side.
Right.
And I think that now the people who follow baseball are smart enough to realize what's going on.
Yeah, and I've said I don't think some of the larger market owners trust, and that's been the word of the day on the show today, trust some of the smaller market owners in that way, because I always thought that some of this could be worked out amongst themselves before it even got to the players. Work out their business first in private, since the books are mostly closed, and then come to the players figuring it out. I don't know what kind of business these guys like to do amongst each other, if I'm being honest. Do you think there's any validity to that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that, you know, there's been talks of and rumblings about collusion in recent years in free agency where, you know, agents and free agents have said, you know, it's a little bit too coincidental that teams have the same valuations on players.
Right.
And, you know, we had Jeff Francoeur, former Philly, former Brave, on the Phillies Talk podcast earlier this week at NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he made a comment that, like, if you think there's collusion now, wait to see what happens if there's no season. What happens next year in free agency? What happens to those contracts? And when you see the whole league act kind of in lockstep. But, you know, I don't know. To be completely honest, I don't know enough about, you know, the inner workings of organizations like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Kansas City Royals to be able to answer that in any definitive way.
Got you. Now, all right. First of all, is your dad okay now?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, he's kind of out of the woods.
That's good.
A little bit of a scare there, but not contagious anymore, and he's on the road to recovery.
That's obviously far more important than anything baseball-related. Now, I want to ask you, because it's a question I'm about to ask the listeners and the viewers. In sports right now in general, this is breaking away from the – oh, I got two questions left. First thing is, do you think – to me, 4th of July weekend is very important for Major League Baseball. That makes it for a tight window. Do you think right now, and obviously you don't know, do you think there's baseball July 4th weekend?
Not regular season baseball. No, I just think that we're getting too close to this, you know, because it's May 28th right now. If you assume the players need, let's compromise between 2 and 3 weeks of spring training and say 2.5 weeks,
okay,
like 20 days or something like that. I just don't see how that's, you know, you have players some players are around their complexes right now already. So it might not be a big haul for them to get there if an agreement is struck in 3 days. It's just, you look at the entire clock of it, I don't see how we're going to have baseball the first week of July. I mean, hey, this could end in a couple days and I'm totally wrong. I'm just answering as of today.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's more likely that we could see a regular season start later in July or perhaps even August. There was something today from Joel Sherman that laid out potentially a 3-month season, August, September, October regular season, and the playoffs in November. So there are a lot of different options on the table. July 4th was like the most optimistic date.
And I do think that would hurt baseball, but that's just my opinion. And then in sports right now, in general, I'm throwing you this curveball. Who do, in all of the landscape of sports, it could be anybody, who do you trust in sports?
I mean, this is probably an answer that's come up before, but I would say Mark Cuban. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's a billionaire, but he's a billionaire who doesn't think like a billionaire, at least publicly. You know, I trust a lot of what comes out of his mouth. I think of how he's reacted when the Mavericks have had, you know, a sexual harassment scandal, or they've had, you know, when the coronavirus struck. The way he handles things is typically, at least recently, has been better than what you've seen in other sports. So that would be someone, one of the rare owners who I think has a very high approval rating right now.
You're absolutely right about that. And Corey, thanks so much. I'm glad your dad's okay. I didn't even know you were going through that. So I'm really very happy that your dad's doing okay. And thanks so much for the time, man.
Appreciate you, Ty. Catch you guys later.
All right. That's Corey Simon from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Wow.
Yeah.
Because we had him on a couple of weeks ago. He didn't bring it. And it's not something you ask. Like, no. Hey, does your dad, like,
how are you?
I
yeah.
That's how he's doing.
Right.
He says he's doing all right. He'd rather be covering baseball. Wow.
Yeah, but
maybe he didn't want to talk about it because his dad wasn't out of the woods yet. That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, that's why he is, again, everybody's dealing with this in their own way. And he's like, I'm listening to them argue about this. And I'm like, meanwhile, my dad's dealing with this. Like, that's just the reality of what life is like in 2020. So, like, it's always going to be in the back of everybody's minds. Like, while we're trying to conduct business as normal, nothing is normal.
Nothing's normal.
Nothing's normal.
Now, I want to ask then, Andrew, talking about trust, that's been the word of the day. Who in sports do you trust?
It's a very interesting question. I'm going to try to stay inside the city.
Okay.
And, you know, owners are hard to trust, right? They just are.
They are, yes.
I would say I trust Jeffrey Lurie.
You trust Jeffrey Lurie.
And I go back to emotional intelligence. And
yes.
I laughed at it. And I said, you know, this here comes 10 bad years for the Eagles, right? Like, right. I thought when they fired Chip, I kind of wanted to hold on to Chip one more year.
I did not.
I wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah, I was done with Chip.
I'm glad, like, the stories I've heard since then, right?
Wretched.
You know, I'm like, all right, I'm glad that they got rid of him.
Right.
And forget the Super Bowl, the stories that I've heard from former players talking about
him.
But I thought, all right, so we're going to try to figure out a new coach. And because this came out of the blue, like, do they really have a coach they have their eyes set on? Like, they moved on from the previous coach because Chip was there, right? They're like, this guy's available. They moved on to Chip just to move on from him. And it ended up working out. They won a Super Bowl. They've gone to the playoffs three straight years. So Lurie's one guy. And then, even though I don't trust his basketball mind, I do trust Brett Brown as a person.
As a guy.
When he speaks.
Guy, yeah.
When he speaks, I go, yes.
All right.
Yeah, you never feel like he's like blowing smoke.
I don't like his decision-making sometimes.
I got you.
In the game.
Yeah.
But as a person, I go, you know what? He's a nice man. I trust Brett Brown.
All right, 610-632-0975. In addition to the Major League Baseball talk, we'll continue to talk about that. And we'll get back to the NFL thing and how they completely botched that replay review in a panic, all because of one incompetent referee. That started all this with the crybaby Saints. But who do you trust in sports? In all of sports right now, I think Mark Cuban, I agree, is in the lead for me. He has conducted himself in the best way possible from the very beginning. And it's been very clear, despite the fact that he's a very rich man, money has not been the number one driving force for any of the public statements that he's made. And if you ever watch the show Shark Tank or whatever, you can tell he's different. I think part of the reason he's different is he earned his money.
All of it, every dime.
He earned his money.
Yep.
And I'm not saying, it's not that he's the only owner like that, but a lot of the owners were born with the money.
Well, and you have a different perspective on things when you have genuinely had to work for what you have in the current time. Like, you just have a more, I think, of an appreciation and an understanding of where people are coming from in general.
Can you go to broadcast.com right now?
Broadcast.com?
Go to broadcast.com.
Okay.
Right now.
Yes.
And then tell me what happens.
Goes to Yahoo?
Exactly.
Right.
Mark Cuban was so smart. Broadcast.com was him. So did Yahoo. Yahoo didn't know what to do with it. Didn't keep him on retainer. That's how he made a lot of his money.
Yeah.
You go to broadcast.com. Now think about that. Now we know YouTube. Think about back in the day. Everyone knows the word broadcast. We know what a broadcast is, right? Like at the time, right?
Yeah.
He had video on the internet. So did Yahoo for a bunch of money. And Yahoo butchered it so much that it literally kicks the Yahoo.
Oh my God. It does. That's so funny.
It literally kicks the Yahoo.
It's amazing.
That was Mark Cuban.
It's a great answer, Mark Cuban. I mean, this is the one. I want to say this to help anyone who's fortunate. Remember when the jackpot was like at its all-time highs like a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote an article on what you should do if you win.
Yeah. Right,
to try to help people.
So if you're listening and you are fortunate enough to win the lottery at some point.
Mark Cuban has the keys to success.
Go look up Mark Cuban lottery article. He'll help you out.
He'll help you out.
I have to
say, I trust that.
Who do you trust, Natalie?
You know, there's a part of I trust Michael Rubin.
You trust Michael Rubin?
Yeah.
Okay. He's done a great job.
He's done a great job. Like you said earlier with how the Sixers kind of initially botched that PR thing.
Yes.
And then what I really liked about the way that all went down, and I know Josh Harris was the one who came out and said, you know, maybe it was a little like short-sighted, but I think a big thing, especially with business owners, is acknowledging the mistake, correcting it, and apologizing for it. I think that holding yourself accountable and understanding that public perception does matter, that to me is a sign of somebody who I would be likely to trust.
And then he followed it with actions.
Exactly.
It wasn't just lip service.
No.
He followed it with actions.
Yeah.
A lot of actions, a lot of the factory and all
that. That's,
incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. TK in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey.
What's going on, TK?
Hey, Tyrone, Natalie, and Andrew. Good to see you all.
How you doing, buddy?
I love the show. I watch it all the time. But I have to drop a little bit of perspective on what's going on in the world today. And the one thing I really just drives me absolutely bat-you-know-what crazy is these unprecedented times when they say it on these commercials. Hey, listen, in 1918, 600,000 people died from the Spanish flu. We have had
100 years ago?
So yeah.
So that tells me, like, this doesn't happen every 5 minutes then. You say, because it happened 100 years ago. Drop the unprecedented. Hey, you got to give me a better reason than that, buddy.
No, hold on. I'm just getting rolling. All right, so 6,000 people died in one day in the city of Philadelphia. All right?
Right.
So
when?
In the same pandemic in 1918.
Right, so what I'm saying is, TK, give me something more recent than 100 years ago.
100 years is 100 years. It's history. If you don't learn from the mistakes you make in history, you're going to repeat them.
That's why we have social distancing. Because Philadelphia did not socially distance. St. Louis did. And you saw the number. That's where a lot of that science was figured out, TK.
Well, but the point I'm going to get originally started on baseball salaries and the players and the owners.
Yeah.
I'm behind the players all the way. Since when has labor ever had the top hand over ownership?
Never. Never have and never will.
Exactly. And so, and the greed is driving the country into a head-on collision with a horrible, horrible fate. And it's just so crazy that nobody can see it and nobody cares. If you don't have people, you won't have any profit.
Yeah,
the bottom line
that's a good point, TK. That's a good point. Went a little long there. That's why I couldn't let you get the next point in. But obviously, and people are more important, should be more important than profits. Should be. And if there's anything we should have learned during all this time is to value, because we can't be around one another and we're all separated for health, is to appreciate people. Like, that point is a strong one. I'm fine with the unprecedented. Because I don't remember the Spanish flu. You remember the Spanish flu, Andrew?
No.
No, you don't remember Spanish? How, Natalie, you remember the Spanish flu?
Nah.
You don't remember?
I don't.
Yeah.
My parents don't remember the Spanish flu
either. Neither do mine.
And neither my grandmother would have. They didn't remember it either.
My grandma, she doesn't remember Spanish flu either.
Maybe her parents.
But they're not around to talk about
it. No, they're not.
To, like, impart the wisdom of what they did.
Right.
Or that parade they went to, and they were lucky, one of the lucky ones that didn't catch it from this silly parade we decided to throw.
We love parades here, and that should have tipped it off 102 years ago. Perhaps we don't need a parade for everything. You know, we love parades.
We love parades.
That should have said a lesson 100 years ago. You know what, Philadelphia? Look, I know we really love parades. They might not be necessary for everything.
For everything. 610-632-0975. You know what? That brings up an interesting point. I'm also asking, who do you trust in sports? But to that parade thing, sometimes I wonder about our psyche, like as sports fans.
Yeah.
Like we had the whole Negadelphia thing for so many years
right.
and stuff like that. And I always wonder if you believe the secret or the power of attraction and right. all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you think negative, negative things happen. If you think positive, positive things happen and stuff like that. I do wonder between that parade fiasco that we pulled way back then, some of the behavior at times with the Mummers, checkered past. Is
yes.
that fair?
Yes.
Checkered with the Mummers.
Yes.
And our overall negativity when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if that keeps us from winning.
Oh, I fully believe that. And I think if you know, I've been in this city and sports radio for quite some time now. And I think if anybody knows me knows that I've been pushing for optimism for years. It's very hard. But
especially in this city, it's very hard.
It's so hard. But I believe when we finally have the ability mm-hmm. to believe and kind of trust that it could go our way, I think we see the benefits of that.
Well,
don't you?
Yes, but we're not. See, that's where we're not drafting the bad players, and we're not the bad owners. It's just all right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Baseball, do you think there'll be a season? Will it start by the 4th of July? Corey Seidman just now says no. He thinks it's too tight. That disappoints me. Will there be a season at all? And in sports in general, the word of the day is trust. Who, if anybody, do you trust in sports anymore? And I know Anthony Gargano earlier was talking about when sports innocence was lost. Is it possible that outside of Mark Cuban, I'm saying the masses, is it that we don't trust anybody in sports anymore? We can't even trust Michael Jordan. He was proven to be a liar. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli, and now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Son.
Thanks, Ty. Over 1,300 votes on today's poll so far. Who are you blaming more for the issues with baseball? 27% say the players, 73% say the owners.
All right. Well, I mean, the owners, after they did the low ball, I mean, they're probably doing all the right things, right? Like, now they're going to take care of the minor leaguers, right?
Yeah. They're going to take care of them by cutting them.
Yeah, so...
They couldn't afford the $400 a week.
Yeah, so now, today, they decided
yep.
that hundreds of minor league players
mm-hmm.
were cut, lost their jobs, and there will be hundreds more over the next week. In the end... upwards of 1,000 players could see their baseball careers end simply just because the owners said so. I mean, I guess it can be the fallout. They say cuts happen, but it's a bunch of billionaires who don't want to pay a guy $400 a week. Now, again, I just want to remember. Million seconds, 11 and a half days. Billion seconds, 31.75 years. And now...
$10 an hour, too. Just FYI. That's $10 an hour these guys were getting paid. If in a standard work week.
Right.
If you would.
Right. And now, 1,000 of them gone, and there'll be no place to go because a group of billionaires decided to save. Now, again, we heard the Oakland figure. It'd be like 1.1 million. That would mean that other owners say, you know what? To save, even though I'm sitting on billions and this is a pandemic and there's all these problems, 1.1 million is too much for me to extend. And that's, this is what I'm talking about when it's, when they do this players versus owners and all this stuff. And we're talking about everybody, we're all in this together and blah, blah, blah. People look at that and think it should apply to the workforce. We should chip in. But a bunch of, none of those guys are rich. None of those guys are rich.
No.
Most of you out there listening, most of you out there watching, before this happened at least, were doing better than $400 a week most likely for a full-time job. I mean, they play every day for a full-time job. Fair to say, Andrew?
Yes.
And now to save some money, and this is a temporary situation, they're eliminating jobs forever to save a buck. Why aren't they in it with us? How are we in something together? And the baseball owners, these guys that need to cut Mike Trout's salary down to 20% and all, take an 80% cut and all that stuff. Why? Just I need some explanation. 610-632-0975. I need explanation from you guys. Someone have to explain to me why they're not in it if we're all in it together. We can't have an all, and with those who have the most are giving the least. We can't. That's not all.
I'm intrigued to see, you know, the players asked for to see the books. They want them to open the books. That's going to be intriguing if that gets out.
Seriously.
Because how... I'm not going to pretend like I know about the intricacies of the baseball business. I'm not. But what can be their absolute justification?
Save money.
Right. But
not
that's,
playing games. That's the whole thing. That's the whole, there is no human reason. There is no, all, we're all in this together. And this is why I get so frustrated. Because, it was well known, it was talked about on the show that we took a pay cut. My wife took a pay cut in my, like, I'm extending that kind of thing. Fine. We're still eating. I'm not starving. Whatever. Glad to have a job. I'm in it. Basically, when you take a pay cut or you, whatever it may be, you're in it together. Fine. Fine. But those who have the most have to also be in it, or what will we have? Because they're going to be okay. Let me tell you something. Those owners could pay every player 100% of their salary for half a season, and every last one of them would be just fine.
Yep.
Flat out. I'm saying in the macro sense. They wouldn't miss a meal. They wouldn't miss a yacht trip. They wouldn't miss a private plane. They wouldn't miss a damn thing.
But they might not reach their bottom line, Ty.
But they would. But then we're all in this together.
Right.
When it's, we're in it. Again, and I know there's tons of people, I'm not complaining about a pay cut. What I'm saying is that's my reality. Other people listening in reality is they're out of a job as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that job may come back, or eventually, if things get better, that job somewhere else may come back. They're eliminating minor league jobs forever for a temporary problem, yet they're going to go out there and try to sell us on, oh, we're all in this together. And this isn't like, I'm caping for the math.
Well, and also I think it just kind of proves the point of how disposable they find their players to be.
Right. And therefore, when they say, oh, why, when's enough money? No, while you can, and we've talked about this earlier in the show, there are players out there, they say, oh, well, if they have some bad years, they still get their money. I know. But at the same time, there's a finite amount of time in which you can play Major League Baseball. If you're an accountant, you can be an accountant from 22 to 80.
Yeah.
You can't play pro baseball from 22 to 80. There's a finite amount of time in which to get your money. So, and these are the people we're supposed to be protecting? Oh, no. Don't pay Bryce Harper. Save these ingrates who just laid off 1,400 workers. Save them. And the reason I care about that is I'm currently doing better than $400 a week.
Yeah.
I care about those that are doing worse than me.
Yeah.
You're toiling for a dream. $400 a week, and some billionaire is going to tell you you don't matter, and we're supposed to then cape for them.
Yeah.
And say, bleep the labor force. I can't. It doesn't make sense to me. Every time I try to make my way to think, okay, hate the players, and they're greedy, and this and that and that. Are they greedy? They're greedy? They just gutted the minor leagues, and they could afford it.
Yeah.
They could afford it.
I think that's the key here. They can afford it.
They can afford it. This is not the same as your local business where they got six guys that go do landscaping. No. These guys can afford it with sock money.
Right.
This is nothing.
And it is a shame because Passan put in his tweet that there's some people whose careers are going to come to an end. There's going to be that 30-year-old, you know, we talk about the, remember Chris Croce, 33-year-old.
Right.
But he made his way to the major leagues. Yeah. Right? Keep on fighting.
There's probably a guy who's 30 who has agreed to take less money every single year to play in the minor. And then, like, a year's going to go by, and they're going to say, why bother bringing back this 31-year-old who's never been good enough to get to the big league?
And some of these teams, they're close. They say minor leagues are just going to be smaller.
Yeah.
There's going to be less minor league jobs.
Right.
So, by a statement of fact, there will be less jobs. And they absolutely can afford it. Let's not forget these guys eat canned tuna and raw potatoes.
Right.
And basically sleep on couches.
And as it is.
Yeah.
As it is. And these guys who can afford it, just cut them all. Yet I'm supposed to side with them in a labor situation? Never. Never. It's against anything I believe in. It's against anything. There's nothing in my bone marrow that will feel sorry for them when they pull this. And then go back to the bargaining tables and say, passing a cup around to Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. Come on, guys. You just saved a bunch of money firing a bunch. If you didn't save any money doing that, you know what?
Well, and
I don't want to use bad language. I would have FCC.
Well, and it's how, and then it comes down to it. How much do the owners love the game? There. How much do you love the game?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. When's enough money, owners? You should just own a team for the love of owning a team.
Yeah. Don't you love owning a baseball team?
Don't you love, you get to sit in the owner's box and say, tell all your friends at the golf course, you're an owner. We don't say that to them.
No, we don't.
Players, just play for the love. Why don't you do something for love, owners? Wretched, wretched thing that they just did during the show today. Ed in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
What's up, Ed?
There's a one-word answer to all this that you guys have been talking about for the last hour. The one word is capitalism. Capitalism is morally corrupt, and these owners are morally corrupt.
Listen. Capitalism as a whole,
capitalism as a whole sits on the people that get the explanations that you're about to give me. Capitalism is morally corrupt.
No, I hear this is a popular thing going around, and I'm not trying to dispute capitalism. Obviously, this is a sports station. But until someone can explain to me a system better than capitalism that actually works on grand scales of 300 million people, it's not capitalism. It's a fact that a person can choose. A person can choose. These are private companies. They're not feeding any shareholders or anything like that. They can choose to make less money for 1 year and sacrifice because we're all in this together, or they cannot. And baseball today decided to not, because now if you want to say that they're low moral character or anything like that, fine. But I don't think we should attack the American system. The baseball owners happen to just be stinking at the American system.
But you didn't let me tell you all the countries that don't have this form of capitalism. This Trumpian form of greed.
Yeah, come on.
And there are many of them.
But you're going too far afield. Tell me which ones have this quantity of people, like in America, 300 million that are successful. Go ahead.
Well, I don't even know how many people there are in this country. And it's you probably don't either.
It's over 300 million.
If you defend in Trumpian capitalism, you're going to lose.
I don't think I've ever met Trump. I don't know.
I've never met Trump either, but I can smell him.
Trump. What I'm saying is, I don't think.
Well, and you're not trying to go there.
This is something different. When they talk about capitalism, all of us. First of all, it's not all of us want to make as much money as possible. All of us want to make as much money as possible. The question is, do you choose to be charitable with said money when you make as much as possible? The baseball owners could have been charitable and took care of the minor leaguers through this season. And if for some reason this virus continues and next season there's still going to be no fans at the parks and all that kind of stuff, then made a decision to do something. But pay the guys through August like you normally would. They don't get paid for September. They're not, unless they're in the playoffs. Pay them through August. Obviously, there would be no playoffs. And you reconvene later and make the decision later. They could have been charitable with that money, and they chose not to. They didn't break the law. They just showed that every player get as much money as you can. I hope the players come back and say, forget the prorate. Give me 100% for 82 because you guys stink. That's what I hope they do. These guys are terrible. They really did that today.
Well, and they did that today. They really did that today. They did that 10 minutes ago. And you have to think, now you have the Mike Trouts and the Bryce Harpers who are looking at the situation. They're going, oh, really? And now you're going to do that?
That's what you're going to do.
And now you're going to do that?
Passing the cup. Oh, I'm so poor. Man, I would slap that cup out of their hand. Or if there was money in the cup, I'd go fake like I was putting money in the cup and rob him like he did in Half Baked. When he was on a date. When he was on a date, he had no money. And he goes, thank you, brother. He took the money for the ice cream. I would do that to the owner's cup when they're passing it around.
Right by the beach, boy.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right. There's not going to be a baseball season. There's not going to be a baseball season. There's just not. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.97.5 The Fanatic.
.97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. Man. So we start off the show. I'm asking, about trust. The owners, in my opinion, don't trust each other. The players definitely don't trust the owners. And now we have all this strife, and all I want is sports back. Nothing would make me happier than to have sports back. Over in Europe, somehow, kind of funny, Premier League's a few weeks away. German soccer's already back.
I watched a little La Liga last night.
Yeah, another league, another one of the major leagues, I think the Italian League. So I saw something's about to be back in the month of June. They're all able to get themselves together. A lot of frustrations with this virus that are sports-related and not sports-related. But I hate what Major League Baseball, what the owners have done this week. Because when it comes down to it, they're telling us by the stupid plan that they offered to the players to take the 80% pay cut and then just gutting the minor leagues today, $400 a week employees, they don't care about us at all. At all. And they don't really care. They definitely don't care about their players. They care less about their fans. And when something, What will those baseball players do for money now?
That's a great question.
What will those players, they set up for winter jobs.
Right.
What will they do during the summer, during a pandemic with sky-high
unemployment?
Unemployment.
Yeah, I'm not.
What will they do?
I'm not
for
joking
money?
Here. Like picking up like the where you can be an Amazon driver.
Yeah,
I know a buddy of mine who you know he got his doctorate degree and right. was supposed to start. He had to take a last couple of tests, right? But he already got his degree.
Yeah,
just
I got
to
you.
Figure
yeah.
out where he can work.
Uh huh.
He's just sitting there.
Right.
There's no test because the tests have to be on site. Because
right.
you can't cheat from your house
right.
to become a doctor.
Right.
So he just picked up driving.
Yeah.
Amazon and there's still people do Uber.
And, yeah.
Right. And all that. And again, there's nothing demeaning about that work. What I'm saying is the company that can't hire him yet can't afford it.
Right.
I'm not talking, please. I'm not telling people to go into some strange debt or they go into the poorhouse to make sure someone else doesn't. I'm talking about a bunch of individuals who 100% can afford it, who said, you know what? Bleep y'all. Straight up, they said, all of y'all, bleep y'all. And all you fans that go to those minor league games in the future where we're going to be closing the parks, bleep y'all too. And it just bothers me. These owners, I'm sorry, I can't side with them. I can't. Jim and Bala Kingwood, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So, how's it going?
What's going on, Jim?
So, one of the things I'd like to start off by saying is I have two businesses. And I'd like to feel like that anybody that thinks that like capitalism is a bad thing has obviously never tried to start a business because number one, it's horrible. But what I'm getting at is these owners most likely own more businesses than just this team. These sports players, though they're in the minor leagues making $400, all you guys most likely had student loans that you had to pay off. They don't have any of them most likely. They had full scholarships to college.
No, not necessarily. No. You're big generalization. Yeah, but I'm saying you said something incorrect. I can't let you spew nonsense.
Okay. It's not nonsense to say that. I would say the majority of minor league baseball players went to college on a cool ride or didn't
that
go to college at all.
That is
right?
not true. No, I'm saying it's false. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you for the third time. That's not true.
So you would say the minority of them did?
Yes.
Okay. And what would that percentage be, you would think?
Probably 30%. A lot of those players went straight from high school, or they're not from necessarily from America.
Okay, so there's part of my point, though. Straight from high school also is the same. So my point is, though, is like when you guys go and get jobs, everybody's out there making $400 a week. I get that. But they're betting on themselves. They don't have debt. Like college debt.
Right, but part of the reason some of them went right to there is because college doesn't go away. You see, you're deciding that they don't have debt now. They could have debt later. College, if you want to chase your dream now, you could go to college at 25, 30, 40. You go to college at any time.
They're building on themselves, right? There's somebody from the neighborhood that could have made it. Tried to make it. And they're doing fine whether they're a realtor or on sports radio, whatever it is. My point being now is we don't know all the positions these people are in. And also, don't we have to look at that maybe these systems, these organizations are too big, and that's all this is. Like, right, that's what all the states are going through. These are all people going for bailouts. They'll shut all these down, claim all this, and get a bailout.
The phone's breaking out. Airline, a lot of businesses got a bailout. A lot of businesses got a bailout. A lot of businesses got a bailout. We're looking for a bailout. Saying is that, oh, they own multiple businesses. Some of them do. Not all of them. Some of the owners own multiple businesses. Not all of them. It's a very small fraternity of owners. It's not like there's these, oh, man, we got to do all this extensive research on the 9,000 owners. It's 30 of them.
Right.
There's 30 right. of them.
You, a simple Google search will probably show you.
30 of them. I know that one that has this cup out every single year is worth $2.1 billion.
Right.
That's easy to find out. That was odd. I don't mind. It's just that, no, you can't just make the assumption, oh, yeah, all these guys just went to college, got a full four-year degree, graduated, and now they're making $400 a week, and now they'll just bounce back and do something. No, that's not
right.
necessarily
well,
the case.
And not only that, but just because you don't have student loans doesn't mean that you don't have debt to just survive.
$400 a week, you have debt to survive.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
no,
but,
no, I'm giving it to yeah. Say that, you know, like you have deck to survive.
I just, by the way, I read an article.
Mm-hmm.
Colleges and D1 schools get 11.7. I don't know how they come up with that number. 11.7 full ride scholarships, but they don't give it to 11 players. They have the leeway, unlike football where it's like, oh, this guy got a full ride. They can divvy it up.
Right.
So they can do the 11.7 full rides to the 30 players, but that still means that a player will still have to pay for 2 years of college.
Right.
Right?
So like, they would still have debt.
Yes. Because there's no kid making thousands of dollars playing college baseball, maybe college basketball, college football, but not college baseball.
Not college baseball.
No, they're not getting paid.
So if you go, there's people, Villanova, Temple, obviously there's teams, St. Joe's, whatever it may be, and you got a partial scholarship,
yeah,
you would still have debt and be making $400 a week.
Right.
But I'm glad to know that all those guys making $400 a week had silver spoons and their parents were paying for condos and they were rich and stop. We all bet on ourselves, by the way. Every single one of us bet on, in the media, we're all betting on ourselves. Every single one of us are betting on ourselves. But that doesn't mean that if you can afford it, during the worst pandemic ever, you should say, you know what? Forget all of y'all. If you think that that's good and moral, fine. I'm not suggesting that it should be. The one caller was basically trying to suggest it should be against the law. What they did isn't illegal.
No.
It's not illegal. I'm not saying to lock them up. I'm saying it was immoral. I think that's a clear distinction, right? Between they didn't do anything illegal. They shouldn't go to prison. It's just I'm supposed to then go, oh, man. Those poor guys.
Well, and I mean, I'm just intrigued because, like, I feel like we keep bringing it up, baseball has been struggling, and this isn't helping at all. It's like
no. And good luck getting more younger players if you got your minor leagues because guys develop at different. 610-632-0975 610-632-0975 Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Mussolini on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.